Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1967, Miss Aretha Franklin released her version of Otis Redding's song, Respect. Yeah, you know, we all grew up thinking this was an original by Aretha Franklin, but it was a cover of an Otis Redding song, but she put her signature on it. It went on to win two Grammys in 1968. I'm Scoot on the Air. It's Tuesday. We survive Monday. And, you know, I really don't like, I hope things change with the forecast, because I don't like hearing about a little rain maybe Thursday and then a better chance of rain on Friday, because those are two big days for Jazz Fest this weekend. Don't change your plans. You know, we'll know more about the forecast as time goes on. And also, it looks like it's going to be a very, very nice weekend. All right, today is Donald Trump's 100th day in office. And really, throughout my career, I have talked about this. And it doesn't matter who's president. This is something that I'm going to talk about. So I'm not talking about this because it is negative news about Donald Trump. I'm talking about it because it's the truth, it's factual, and it's in the news. And that's what we talk about on this show. So we're going to go over the polls here in just a moment. Also, as I've mentioned today, consumer confidence is way down, lowest point in 5 years. And, you know, look, things are not really good right now with the administration. And Karl Rove, a conservative Republican, is criticizing Donald Trump. Candace Owens, is picking Harvard University in Donald Trump's battle with Harvard University over freedom of speech. And, you know, there are just many Republicans, many conservatives that are now standing up, and they're seeing some truth that they didn't really see leading up to Election Day. And I think a lot of people wanted Donald Trump to be the right person because the alternative, Kamala Harris, was not good. And so I don't know what it's going to take, but the Democrats need to get their you-know-what together. And they don't have a lot of time. I mean, this is the time to start doing it now. This election in Canada, there were people who were expecting the conservative to win. The liberal won. And the liberal says there's no way Canada is going to become the 51st state of the United States. But according to a caller we had last hour, Julian Metairie, I guess this is part of the plan. Donald Trump says he's going to take Canada as the 51st state. They're going to become the 51st state. And then Canada says no. And somehow this is part of Donald Trump's plan. She seemed to have an excuse. If something's not working, it's part of Donald Trump's plan. The whole tariff thing, the backing down on the tariffs. The latest thing is he's backing down on the 25% tariff on cars and on parts for cars. Well, I didn't hear anything in what he said that indicated that this was somehow part of a plan. I didn't hear anything in what he said when he said it, that he was going to back down on it. It sounded like he was damn definite. We're doing these tariffs. It's fair. America first. We have to have them. Well, now reality is setting in, and apparently they're not working. And countries are not coming to the United States. They're not coming to the table to make deals. Donald Trump says they're making deals, but there's no evidence of any deals. So let's take a quick look at some of the polls. And I want all of you who are skeptical about polls, I want all of you to please pay attention to this. Because the polls include a Fox News poll, a brand new poll from Fox News. It is amazing how close these polls are in terms of the results, which means the methodology that is used to take these polls is relatively accurate. Right now, these are the latest poll numbers. This is an indication, this is a grade on Donald Trump, 100 days in office, which started back when Delano Roosevelt was president. And it is supposed to be a reading on what kind of term the president is going to have, whoever's president. The first 100 days says a lot about what kind of term he's going to have. Well, I hope things get better because things are not good right now. According to the new Fox News poll, 44% approve of President Trump. 55% disapprove. That's a majority, by the way. The ABC News Washington Post poll shows 42% approve of Trump, 55% disapprove. The New York Times Siena College poll show 42% approve and 54% disapprove. The CNN poll has it 43% approve and 57% disapprove. The Reuters poll has 42% approving, 53% disapproving. The Pew Research poll has 40% approving and 59% disapproving. The Associated Press poll has 39% approving and 59% disapproving. So from the Fox News poll to the ABC Washington Post, New York Times, Reuters, Pew Research, and AP poll, they're all basically the same. They're all saying the same thing. So you can't say, well, the mainstream media, they're biased. The polls are not fair. Let's look at the Fox News poll. Okay, let's look at the Fox News poll. 44% approve and 55% disapprove. Basically what every other poll is saying. So you can say what you want, but right now, in the eyes of the American people, Donald Trump is not doing so well. This is the lowest a president has been after 100 days in office in 70 to 80 years. So I know he's going to do something. I don't know what he's going to do, but he's not the kind of person to sit back and do nothing. And one thing that he is doing is now he's calling for an investigation into the polls. You see, here's a man who can't conceive that anybody would disagree with him. And so when people disagree with him, he thinks something is wrong. Well, he should face the reality that every one of these polls shows that he's underwater. Now, Fox News, if you are trapped in the conservative media echo chamber, but you also listen to this show, Fox News is going to generally tell you things are great. I mean, there are a few exceptions here, but Fox News is going to basically say, everything is great. Everything is wonderful. I mean, I heard some of that earlier today, and they're all over this positive spin on Donald Trump is accomplishing what he wants to accomplish. This is the plan. This is the way it's supposed to go. And people like Julie, our caller in Metairie, they pick up on that, and they act like they really do know something inside, but they're just hearing the rhetoric from Fox News.
You know, I want to also remind people, if they're listening to these polls and thinking like, I don't trust that pollster, they're just trying to make Donald Trump look bad. These are the exact same polling firms that are telling us that the Democratic Party's approval rating is 27%.
Right. So,
you know what I mean?
All right, so like, let's not believe that.
There are a lot of really unflattering numbers for Donald Trump. The Democratic Party routinely underperforming President Trump in many of these polls. So you really can't have it both ways. You don't have to trust every poll. You don't have to believe in the usefulness or the utility of polling. But if you just understand it as a science, you know, that can be useful. And if you're going to be willing to step up and do that and say, oh, look, this is just basic arithmetic. And, you know, the methodology is always there. It's always easily explained how many respondents there were, what the partisan, you know, lean was.
And yeah, I mean, it's pretty, the methodology.
At the end of the day, nobody likes Trump and nobody likes Democrats. And it's the same same polling firms that are putting all this information out.
No, you bring up a good point. I mean, if you believe the polls that the Democrats are down, and I believe that the Democrats are down, and I believe the polls. I also believe the polls when it comes to Donald Trump. And remember, a lot of people who voted for Donald Trump didn't really like him, but they voted for him anyway. Because of the option, Kamala Harris, she wasn't really an option for those people, so they voted for Donald Trump. Those people are really not happy right now about the way things have gone. And this has been a really rocky start. And, you know, I forgive Trump for not doing the things that he said he was going to do at the very beginning, the first day, the first month or whatever, because I didn't think those things were even possible. But on this show, we share opinions, and you have a right to believe whatever you want to believe. But on this show, we're going to tell you the truth as much as we can, and we're going to be honest. And we're being honest about this right now. Now, there are people who don't want to hear the honesty. There are people who don't want to be honest about the situation, and Donald Trump is among them. He doesn't want to be honest about this. He wants to investigate the polls like there's something wrong. Well, when the Fox News poll is wrong, and all the polls are basically in concert, they're basically the same, how do you justify the polls are fixed? Let's go to Bill and Gentile. Bill, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Scoots, it became obvious to me that after the 2020 election, and Trump was saying that the election was rigged and stolen and so forth and so on, it became obvious to me that there are Trump supporters, I don't care if they're in their 30s or their 80s or 90s, there are numerous of them that are going to go to their graves still thinking that the 2020 election was stolen. There's nothing you can do, nothing I can do to change that. And that is tremendously sad. Trump has been speaking about the birthright situation of Article 14. Well, I look at myself. My parents were born 1912, 1913. Their parents, my grandparents, who I didn't know, and say my great-grandparents, great-great-grandparents, were obviously here under slavery. So if that is pushed to the extent, which I hope and I don't think it can be, but in a situation like that, I could be considered a planet individual. Came here under pretenses and because of my ancestry. It's pathetic. If we can survive to the midterms and flip some seats in the House and hopefully the Senate a few, I think that would be the only possible way that we can grab the reins on this thing and do something with it.
Well, and you know, the general public, Bill, I understand. I appreciate the call. The general public in America understands what's going on, and they may react with their votes in the midterm elections. And a lot of people thought the conservative candidate was going to become the Prime Minister of Canada. He lost to the Liberal candidate. Is that sort of a vicarious judgment of the conservative direction when it comes to politics? Some people are reading it that way. I mean, Donald Trump is the leader of the Republican Party. And how Donald Trump goes, that's how the party goes. So if Donald Trump fails, the Republican Party has a problem. The best thing the Republican Party has going for it is that the Democrats don't know what the hell they're doing. this is a perfect time for the Democrats to figure out who are going to be some of the young voices that are going to represent the Republican, I mean, the Democratic Party, and start having them say things now. Start responding to the negative things that are coming out about Donald Trump. I mean, this is a good time for Democratic strategists to start coming up with information and with giving information to candidates or potential candidates to have them start countering what's going on with Republicans. Because right now, the Democrats don't seem to have an answer for anything. And so as much in disarray as some things are concerning the first 100 days of Donald Trump, the Democrats don't have an answer. Let's go to Doug in Slidell. Doug, you're on WWL.
Hi, Scoot. How you doing?
Good.
You know, I'm disagreeing with what you're saying, sir.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, I think Donald Trump is doing a really good job right now, actually, to be honest with you. And I don't think the polls are showing that. Okay.
Well, why not? Why do you think that is, Doug? I mean, why are the polls showing that so many Americans are disapproving of Donald Trump's performance?
Yeah, it's probably just a bunch of liberals that are taking the polls.
Well, no, that's
okay?
not. Well, what about
on,
the what about the Fox?
It depends on where you're polling at. You know, I mean, if you.
Well, okay. Well, you know, what if? But what if that's not the case? I mean, the Fox News poll shows what every other poll is showing. They're all in concert with each other. They're showing all the same thing.
Well, I tell you what, you then take another poll in another year and see how it's doing and see how all the tariffs are doing.
Okay, because well, that's another, Trump, we'll talk about that at the time.
Donald Trump is trying to bring back manufacturing and jobs to this country that have been lost over the past 4 years significantly under Joe Biden. Okay?
No, Doug. Manufacturing didn't suddenly leave under Joe Biden. Jobs didn't suddenly go overseas under Joe Biden. Where do you get that information?
Well, I tell you what, we lost more jobs under Joe Biden than we ever did under Donald Trump.
Okay, but I don't think that's true, Doug. Where'd you get that?
It is true.
I don't think it's true. Well, okay, tell me where you got your information. I mean, you're the one saying it's true, so where did you get it?
I'm taking part of my information from when Donald Trump was president previously for those 4 years. You never had such low unemployment.
Okay, it was a different time.
You had the lowest unemployment practically ever back then, and also the economy.
All right, but when Trump was president, the jobs had already gone overseas. The manufacturing had already gone overseas. So if unemployment rate was low,
that's not true.
That is absolutely true.
When he was president before Scoot, he was bringing all those jobs back. That's why.
Ian, would you do a little research?
That's why the economy was so good.
Yeah.
What is the question exactly?
All right, the question is, first of all, did we lose more jobs did more jobs go overseas under Joe Biden? And When Donald Trump was president from 16 to 20, how many manufacturing jobs came back to America between 2016 and 2020?
Okay, those are sort of more complicated things I can't give you a like lightning fast easy just to look at the unemployment rate and say the unemployment rate at the end of Donald Trump's term before the pandemic hit was pretty low. But it wasn't as low as it was like in the middle of Joe Biden's term. And those weren't just like bounce back pandemic jobs. Joe Biden created more jobs
in two years than
Trump did in four in 2016.
I mean, it bothers me that you're so misguided when it comes to jobs overseas. I mean, this has been going on for decades. This has been a trend that has gone on for a long time. I followed this over the years.
China has been stealing our jobs
Stealing them, Doug. We are going there. They're not stealing our jobs. We're going there voluntarily because the American people want the best product at the lowest price. China's got a car battery that can go 320 miles on a 5-minute charge. Now, if the U.S. wants to compete with that, they better figure out how to compete with it. Otherwise, people are going to want those batteries from China.
I guarantee you the American people can engineer a much better battery than Chinese can.
Okay, well, then where is it?
we have always been able to engineer and make good American products that are made.
I agree. But okay. in good old USA, people don't buy American. They buy the best product at the lowest price, Doug. American greed has sent those jobs overseas.
And that's exactly what Donald Trump is trying to change.
Okay, well,
he's trying to change that attitude that you have and a lot of the other liberals have, Scoot, of not buying American.
Wait a minute, it's not my opinion. Doug, I got to move on. That's not my opinion. That is an absolute fact. It is a fact. Don't blame that on me, Doug. It is a fact that Americans do not buy American. They buy the best product at the lowest price. And our jobs have been going overseas because of the union demands in this country, because of the cost of health care, because of a lot of different things. I mean, you got to broaden your horizons and not just think that, you know, Americans are buying American, because that's simply not true. I wish it were true, but it's not.
What a great example of the futility of asking some people, where do you get your information? They don't know. There is not an answer to that question. There is not a source that delivered that information to them. They've either just made it up whole cloth. They're just going with the vibes. They're just going with what they want to be true. Or they're compiling it and mixing it up with other information.
And sometimes they hear things from conservative talk show hosts who are not really that intelligent. A lot of them, I know people in this business, they're not really intelligent. They're not that smart. And they don't come up with anything on their own. They just echo what the other conservatives are saying. So, you know, let's not get lost in all of this. I mean, let's stick with the truth. And the truth is that jobs have been going overseas for decades. This didn't just happen. And Trump didn't just bring everybody back. I mean, a bunch of manufacturing companies didn't just come back under the first Trump administration. I wish it were that easy. But it's not. We're not a manufacturing-based economy right now. And I don't think we're going to go back to that. It would be nice if we did, but I don't think it's going to happen. Hey, look, positive note. On the SOTA Rock Culture calendar, happy birthday today to Willie Nelson, 92 years old. And he's got a new album out. That is phenomenal. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, on this day in 1972, New York City Mayor John Lindsay intervened in the immigration proceedings against John Lennon. The Nixon administration and the FBI were trying to get rid of John Lennon. Mayor Lindsay called attempts by the U.S. government to deport John Lennon a grave injustice in light of John Lennon's unique contribution to music and to art. John Lennon was granted permanent resident status in the United States in 1976, and ironically, a couple of years later, he was killed in America. And I have wondered on the air, had John Lennon been deported, would he be alive today? I'm Scoot. All right, responding to Doug, the last caller we had from Slidell, talking about how all this manufacturing came back to the United States during Trump's first term, that didn't really happen. I just did a quick search here, and from PolitiFact, they've got some facts here. Manufacturing employment did increase during Donald Trump's first term, but at the same rate that it increased under President Obama. I still kind of think of them as one sometimes. So so the manufacturing employment did increase under Trump's first term, but at the same rate that it increased under President Obama's terms. So look, we have not suddenly become a manufacturing nation, and I don't think that's going to happen. Donald Trump is speaking to his base when he talks about this. Maybe he really thinks he can do it. The tariffs were supposed to do it. But so far, there is no evidence of countries coming to the table to negotiate with Donald Trump over tariffs and bringing jobs back. Now, we have a new plant that's going to come to Louisiana. That's good. And there will be new manufacturing plants coming back to America here and there. But it's not like we're going to return to a manufacturing-based economy. And we've talked about this a lot on the show. So let's get to more of your calls. If you want to join us, the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. We're just trying to keep the record straight here and sort things out and talk about the truth. And the truth is that from Fox News to all these other polls, which we just talked about, Donald Trump is underwater when it comes to support, approval. And the majority of Americans right now do not approve of Donald Trump's performance in office. And this is the lowest a president has been in 70 to 80 years. I mean, that's something to notice. It's something to acknowledge that some of these things that Donald Trump seems to have done, which I think were motivated by his ego and not logic, have not worked out. And now today, there's even a crawfishing back. He's going to sign an executive order easing the 25% tariffs on cars and their parts. He didn't say that when he first said the tariffs were going into effect. He was damn set on these tariffs are going into effect because America's first, and we need to put these in effect. Well, why is he going back on it now? If he's so sure this is the right thing to do, why is he retreating? Patrick is in New Orleans. Patrick, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, how are you doing today?
I'm good.
Hey, look, as the funds for the Department of Education get cut, the lack of critical thinking skills in this country is so evident. You know, Donald Trump was president for approximately 2 years prior to COVID. It was 2 years of garbage and mayhem, and I want to know if somebody can call up and give us the true numbers of what he brought to the country and how much better the economy was then. Okay, you have to do this paint by numbers for these people, Scoot, because COVID kicks in. No one's working. We have checks going out the door. You have people that can't, they have no way to eat. People needed help, so we go in debt. We went into the piggy bank. That's why there's a deficit.
Well, we always do that. I mean, that's not, do we always do that?
Right, but that is why there's a deficit. That's why we're in a hole. The Democrats can't communicate. That's the problem. You know, the first 2 years of Joe Biden, we're still in that hole. You know, it's absolutely insane for someone to call you up and say that we lost manufacturing jobs, and Donald Trump, you know, brought all these jobs back, and then the other half of the model says that all these jobs are going to disappear because of AI and robotics. You know, Elon Musk and, you know, Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates, you know, they have them out there saying that there are going to be no jobs in the future because of robots. Like, people can't think.
Well, no. I mean, a lot of people want things to be the way it's always been.
In 1950?
Well, yeah, they do.
There was no competition. We came out of World War II. There was no competition. We're never going back to that.
Well, I agree. I mean, look what the Japanese did to the auto market in the 70s and 80s.
Yes.
But, and why? Because they made a better product at a lower price. And that
price
alerted automakers in the United States to start doing a better job. And they did start doing a better job when that competition came in.
It's capitalism. The one thing, the greed that we agree on.
I lost you, Patrick. I don't know. Okay, go ahead. The one thing we can agree on is greed.
wait up. I just want to say this. You know, the poor and the middle class always go to war. And if we're in such a deficit, shouldn't it be a time for the people who make a lot to put in a little more and not get a tax break? You know, the French learned a long time ago what happens when that happens, when you go down that road. When you have people that can't eat in the street, they can't pay their bills, they're going to force all these people to start paying their student loans that can't afford it.
Yeah.
Watch what happens.
Yeah. Hey, Patrick, I've got to get your break here. I appreciate you saying what you said, so thanks for calling into the show. Bowen Yang of Saturday Night Live says that comedy on Saturday Night Live is hampered because they can't say the S word, they can't say the F word. We're going to talk about that a little bit later. All right, if you're on hold, hang on. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. All right, we're talking about the recent ratings out on Donald Trump, the polling numbers on his 100th day in office, and they're not good. I mean, if you're a Trump supporter, they're not good. Since it's Fox News and a lot of other polls all pretty much agreeing on the results, it seems like this is a pretty accurate reflection of where people are. Now, there are those who just cannot believe. They're so into Donald Trump that they can't believe that somebody would not like him or not agree with him. And if you do, then somehow you're just a total wacko and you don't even matter. Well, in politics, everybody's entitled to their opinions, and there's never been a case where everybody in America has agreed on the same candidates and the same politicians. So disagreeing with a president is nothing new. Let's go to John in Mandeville. John, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Scoot. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
As a backdrop to my comments, I want to set out my bona fides a little bit on this one. Number one, I am a registered constitutionalist, which means I reject both the Republican and Democrat parties.
Good.
I think it's very important to state that, because what I'm hearing in the conversations here are a lot of the other guy's fault types of things. Number two, I also want to let you know that I have personally visited the maquiladoras in Mexico back in the 1990s as an engineering consultant. So what I'm trying to offer to the conversation here is this. The long view of the trade issue goes all the way back to 1993 with President Clinton with NAFTA. Bill Clinton signed NAFTA into law on December 8, 1993. And he immediately began a process of outsourcing the manufacturing sector of this economy, of this country, into Mexico. Many of your listeners will remember Ross Perot and his famous sucking sound comment. Yep. That's when he was debating the Clinton administration on this very issue. That was in 1993. Since then, our industrial manufacturing base in this country has been hollowed out in ways that are just clear to anybody with a pair of working eyes. If you go to the rural parts of Louisiana, which I have done on many occasions, one of the largest private employer in the state in the 1990s was Fruit of the Loom. Fruit of the Loom used to have sewing factories in Generette, Port Barry, St. Martinville, Crowley, Louisiana, a number of facilities that put a lot of good, honest, hardworking people to work, mostly women, mostly minorities, mostly Democrats. Those folks were sold out by the Clinton administration. Now, let me be clear. I do not blame the Clinton administration and the Democrat Party exclusively for the problem. The Republican Party has been the false dichotomy, the false opposition for decades now. They have not stopped it. They've never tried to stop it. Corporate America has taken advantage of it. But let's make no mistake about it. This is a two-party problem with two-party DNA all over the crime scene. Now let's flash forward to 2020. When Donald Trump came to presidency, he actually went after NAFTA and, in fact, got rid of NAFTA with the U.S.-Mexico free trade, the U.S.-Mexican-Canada trade agreement, which put significant safeguards in place to help restore some of the trade imbalance that we've had in this country. That process does take time. It took 35 years for us to lose our economy and our manufacturing base, and it's going to take some time to get it back. That being said, the Republican Party gets no shelter from me, because what we have seen in this country for the last 35 years is that we have outsourced the jobs and we have insourced the labor with open immigration. And when you put those two together, you have less and less jobs and more people doing it, which drives down wages, which drives down costs of living, which causes friction in families, increases divorce, crime, drug abuse, and everything that goes along with it. And I'm here to tell you that your listeners all are looking at it from one side. They're looking at it as a left-right game. It's not a left-right game. It's a top-bottom game. And it's them versus us, and them are the elite. The corporate elite, the globalist elite, the Marxist elite against the rest of us. And I don't care what your color is. I don't care what your sex is. I don't care what your sexual preference is. At the end of the day, everybody knows that our quality of life is getting worse and has been getting worse for decades now. And that's the reason for it. So I do give Trump some credit for trying to do something about it. Will he be successful? I don't know. But you cannot cure the problem without accurately diagnosing it. And
John,
that, my friend,
I'm going to have to get you a break. I love what you said. I've got to get you a break here. But very simply, why has manufacturing gone overseas?
Because of the free trade agreement. They moved everything from the United States to Mexico under the auspices
but it was advantageous to the corporations to send those jobs overseas.
Well, no, first it went to Mexico. Then they closed the maquila doors down in Mexico, and I've been in them. They're not in Mexico anymore. They now are in China and in Asian countries where it's actually less to manufacture stuff. There's no question that globalism and corporate America has exploited it, okay? Yeah. But the Democrat Party ushered in what the Republican Party could never do.
All right.
Bill Clinton made it happen.
John, I appreciate that. I really got to get to a break here. All right, we're going to get back to more of this. We'll continue this conversation into the next hour. We've got the text off coming up next on the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar. Happy birthday today to Carney Wilson of Wilson Phillips. She's the daughter of Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys, 57 years old today. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Fridman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.